Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. And one of the things I appreciated at our men's breakfast a couple of weeks ago was we started the breakfast thing, by the way, the men did. I'm just saying. And
our food was better.
Well, listen, we have bacon, and I don't care. And thank you. That's it. But one of the things that was shared was we have a little open discussion before Brian shared somewhat of his testimony, which was like reading one of Dostoevsky's novels. Was an incredible story, Brian's story. But anyways, a couple of the guys shared about some things, and one of them was Andre. And Andre was here, wasn't he? Oh, he's teaching. Oh, here he is. Oh, Andre. Speaking of Andre. And Andre spoke up at our men's breakfast and said a couple of things about doing his devotions, because I was challenging the guys, as I often do, about 3D, which is do devotions daily. And Andre spoke up in regards to the Sunday morning messages, and thinking about it, praying over it, letting it sink in. And that just to say that, if I tell a joke, which you'll notice that it's been rare that I tell jokes anymore, but better left to the comedians. What a horrible thing that you would go away if you if you should say, yeah, wasn't that joke funny? And it's like, ha 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 ha. Usually it's, pastor best, better not tell the joke. It wasn't funny. And not remember, let alone anything I said, even the scripture verse that was used, in the message. And that just to say that God help us, as Jesus said to his disciples, he said to them, Jesus would speak and he'd say to them, let these words sink down deep inside your ears. In other words, really get it. And this is all we can ever hope for, those of us who share from the word, is that we would, we take this time serious. As much as we joke about it, time-wise, and absolutely, and I get it. And my wife will tell you that I take my craft very seriously, that I spend hours upon hours a year in trying to develop that much more the quality of my speaking ability, my communication skills. You say, well, it doesn't show. But I do. I just want you to know that I do. I mean, I take time. And so, I try to communicate the word, that it not go in one ear and out the other, but it sink down deep into our ears. Is that cool? And so, Father, as we're here in your presence, and we look into this word this morning, that, Lord, I know my own heart, and I'm a human person, and how it is so easily, how it so easily happens where, and I just forget, and does go in one ear and out the other, that this morning, somehow by your Spirit, you would help these words to sink down deep into our hearts, and that we would get it into our lives in Christ's name. Amen. And so this morning, I want to look at Hebrews 3. And I want to just read one verse, and as God helps us as we unfold this morning, as we talk together, that we'll be able to also bring out some of the context. But look at just the first verse that I want to read is from verse 7. Which he says, so as the Holy Spirit says. Now, look at something in that we overlook. And all of us have a tendency to overlook the obvious. It's like this. Sandra, have you seen my glasses? Have you seen where I just put my glasses? I can't find my glasses. And it's like, right here. And we all have a tendency to overlook the obvious. And notice what it says, as the Holy Spirit says. God has a voice. God has a voice. And we see this, when we are introduced to God, how is it that we're introduced to him in Genesis chapter 1? We meet God and we meet him doing what? Speaking. We meet him speaking. Over and over again in Genesis chapter 1 it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. All the way from there to Jesus, who is known as God speaking. Did you know that? Jesus is known as God speaking. We call him the what? The Word of God. He is God's spoken word. Hebrews in the first chapter says that in the beginning God spoke to us, and then he spoke to us how? It says through the prophets, the Old Testament, and then there came a time when he has spoken to us in his Son, by his Son. So God has a voice, and we overlook that as the Holy Spirit what? Says. As the Holy Spirit says. And then he says, well, what does he say in this instance? In this one instance, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And so God has a voice. God has a voice. We hear him speaking, going back to Genesis chapter 1. We hear God speaking in creation. We hear God speaking in creation all around us. His handiwork, the sun, moon, stars, the wonderful variety and assortment of leaves that are now changing color. That's God speaking to us. You know, the weather's starting to get cold. I hear God speaking to me. Go to someplace warmer. His voice is loud and clear. And we are sometimes so we become so myopic. We become so inward looking into our stuff, what we're doing. And our heads are so filled with our own voice, our own voices, that we fail to hear God speaking in creation all around us. But he is. In Psalm 19, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day, night unto night, they are speaking his voice. And so God has a voice. He speaks to us in creation. We hear God speaking. We can hear God speaking to us through other people. Yeah. God often uses the voices of other people to speak to us. Has it ever happened to you? I think probably I dislike it the most when he speaks to me through my wife. I just have to be honest and say that, you know. And it's like, oh, man, you're right. I was wrong, you know. But God, he does speak to us through other people. And the amazing thing about God's voice speaking to us through other people is that certainly he speaks to us through our brothers and sisters in Christ and through hopefully, you know, he speaks through my voice. My voice, you see, just one little caveat that we have to mention here is that my voice never becomes the voice of God. And we never become God to other people. You understand? That's cultic. But at the same time, God uses my voice, and in my voice, his voice can be heard, you see? And we speak to one another, and boy, you know, guys, I heard something of God in that. And God is using that person, whatever, to speak to me. I hear God speaking to me. That happens all the time. And the awesome thing about God is that He can speak to us through anybody. You know, I mean, how did God, you know, the classic in this is God speaking through Balaam, through his donkey. I mean, through an animal. God opened the mouth, you know, of all animals, you know, a dumb donkey. And he opened that donkey's mouth to say something smart to a person. And so God has a voice. God has a voice. We hear him speak to us in what we call that still small voice, right? That still small voice. And we know about that still small voice that was first given to us through the prophet Elijah, who being a prophet If prophets are anything, they are accustomed to hearing the voice of God. And any prophet worth his salt is a prophet indeed because he hears God's voice and he's able then to speak that voice to God's people. And he brought to us that, you know, that this whole idea, because Elijah was used to hearing God only on one level, let's say, and that was a very loud level. And Elijah just couldn't hear from God. Remember the story. He didn't hear God's voice in the earthquake. He didn't hear God's voice in the wind. He didn't hear God's voice in the fire, thunder, whatever it was. And then it says, there came a still small voice, small, subtle voice of God. And God speaks to us on the inside, doesn't he? And we have that witness of his Spirit. And there is something there that registers, and it just happened to me this morning as I was here, and I was pacing earlier and praying, just thinking about some stuff, and minding my own business, and I heard the still small voice of the Lord speak to me about something in particular, and there it was, like, okay, everything's going to be okay with that. And that there it was, that still small voice of God. Now, we hear God's voice in that. And now that doesn't exclude, because we still hear God's voice in his thunderous roars. No one can roar like the Lord. The scripture, in fact, speaks of him on that level of roaring. A couple of prophets speak about when the Lord speaks, he speaks like a lion roaring. How intimidating is that? You know? And not only that, but thunderous voice of God. That, you know, we live here in the Northeast, and we've had some whoppers of a thunderstorm, have we not? Cracks of thunder that would jolt you up off the couch or out of bed at night, right? What was that? And thunder, thunder has happened where it has shaken the very house. Felt the house shake, the percussion of it. And thunderous in that way. He is thunderous, the scripture alludes to also, like many waters rushing. Now, for me, the most obvious connection is Niagara Falls. I've been there at Niagara Falls, stood there at the precipice of the falls going over the cliff, and you got to talk loud to each other because of the roar of the waters going over the falls. And God's voice is described as the sound of what? Many waters speaking. And so God has a voice. He has a voice. He speaks to us. And I want to draw your attention to this in particular, this verse of scripture, today if you hear his voice. Today if you hear his voice, then don't harden your hearts. God has a voice. I'll never forget the time when Christina was quite young. We have family devotions, and we were talking about how God talks to us, how God speaks to us, and about God's voice through a series of times we were doing these special devotions or whatever. And Tina was the type of girl that, she was what we'd call, I guess, quite tomboyish. And yet on Sundays, Sandra always dressed her up in a dress. I never remember the girls going to church in slacks or whatever, just one of those things, always dressed them up. And I can remember on Sundays, Bobby, no dresses. Well, once in a while. I can remember, on Sunday mornings, I'm preparing whatever and see Tina running around in her dress before church. And I would holler to her, Tina, pull your socks up. Because, you know, Sandra would have nice little flowery socks, you know, draped over, and they'd be down around her shoes, you know. And it's like, got this all dressed up, and, you know, she looks like this, one of the kids that Norman Rockwell would paint, you know. And so during that time, you know, say, I forget all the connection, but we're talking about God speaking. So one day, Tina runs up to me, Dad. She was 4, 5, 6 at the most. And she says, I heard God's voice. He spoke to me. Well, she had my attention. You know, it's like, oh, wow, you know, what did he say, Tina? Tina, pull your socks up. And immediately I said to her, I said, honey, I said, that was the voice of God speaking to you. Because I said, if that, you know, if I as your earthly father would care enough to tell you to pull your socks up, what's God going to say to you? Pull your socks up. I said, see that? He's watching you when I'm not. Pull your socks up. But I was quick to also help her to understand, as with all of our kids, that nowhere, the sine qua non, absolutely indispensable thing for us to get, that nowhere do we hear God speak as clearly as in His Word. In His Word. And as much as we have the revelation of God given to us all around us in creation, through other people, and all these other forms, His Word, and His Word revealed to us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. You do not have the Word of God if you do not have Jesus Christ as the Word of God, period. And so nowhere do we have more clearly the voice of God speaking to us than in this Word. Now, that's not my point this morning. I'm getting someplace. I'm going someplace. This morning, I'm going to my 5 points this morning. We're going to get there. Todd, you're going to help me, right? We're going to get there. Now, Jesus said, right, in getting there, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. Now, that means a lot of things. How, you know, I've never yet, in all the years that Sandra and I have known each other, got to know each other, you know, I've never once called her on the phone and has she said to me, who's this? You know, and even before the days of caller ID, where it comes up, you know. And when we still had rotary phones, you know, never once would I call her and, you know, say, well, you know, who's this? Why? Well, she's used to my voice. And she's used to my voice for good reason. She knows my voice because she's heard it for a long time. And in the context of our marital relationship, the intimacy of our lives, that it would be an awfully bad thing if I ever called and she said, who's this? I think Bill probably gets that a lot yet from Sandy. All those long hours. But anyways, you know, she has come to know my voice by the relationship we have and by living together as we have. And I have to ask you the question, you know, where do we get used to God's voice? Where do we get used to God's voice? For Jesus to say, my sheep know my voice, my sheep hear my voice, well, where do we get used to His voice? We get used to His voice by living here. See, by living here. And as I become used to this Word, I become used to His voice. And I really do mean it in that way. In the same sort of way where those who are intimate in, you know, relationally are used to one another, and that let alone their voices, they know their quirks. You know, Sandra and I were watching All in the Family the other day, and Edith was rambling on, as she sometimes does, about their relationship, and she said, you know, I read somewhere where, you know, I don't know, they were celebrating their 25th anniversary, whatever, you know, and she said that, she read somewhere, Ann Landers, I think, that after, you know, husband and wife lived together so long that they begin to look alike even. And Archie looks up at one of those looks and then says, I don't think so. But be that as it may, yeah, there are, you know, these things where I would say, you know, not only do we recognize each other's voices and so on, but there are many traits and so on about each of us that we take on. And so we get that in his word. I want us to see that there's more, though, to be added to that. In other words, you know, that's somewhat of the skeleton. Let's add some meat to them, their bones. In regards to, well, we, you know, here it is, living in this word. Well, what are some of the things that means? And in particular, what does it take to have a healthy heart response to God's voice? Because you notice, as he says here, today, if you hear his voice, do what? Have a healthy heart response to it. Don't harden your heart. Now, I think most of us are aware of heart disease. In our nation alone, one out of four Americans die every year of heart disease. Listen to this one. Every 42 seconds, someone is having a heart attack in America. Heart disease still is the number one killer. And I say that because I think that there's a spiritual correlation among us who walk with Jesus, that even as you look into the Word, he talks an awful lot about what? About our hearts. See, about our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, take care to mind, to have a healthy heart, because out of it, everything comes. All life flows from your heart. So have a healthy heart. And so here, he says, hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So I'm asking the question, what does it take to have a healthy heart response to God's voice? When he speaks, I respond to it. Growing up, my mother's most favorite phrase, exasperated, famous phrase by my mother, angry phrase by my mother to me, wit's end phrase by my mother to me, was, Bobby, listen to me. And whenever she would say that, she wasn't saying, let me have your attention and listen to what I'm saying only, but she was saying, respond to what I'm saying and do this. Bobby, listen to me. If you don't stop teasing your sister, you know, I'm leaving. I remember one time as a kid, more than one. Tease my little sister. I tormented my sister, Mary Teresa, tormented her. My mother trying to discipline me one time threatened to leave. If you don't stop bothering your sister, I'm leaving. Can you imagine? Oh, my poor mother. I tried to make up for it after I got saved and became a good boy. I did. I still teased my sister, though. Stories I can tell. But anyways, you listen to me. And when we say that, of course, we're meaning more than just hear the words and let them register. But come under what's being said to do it, okay? So what's our healthy heart response? What today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, in the context here, he's writing to these Christians, drawing from the story of Israel and God speaking to his people. And when he would speak to them, it would say, he said, go right. God would say, go right. His voice, go right, go right. And they would do what? Pay no attention and go left. They would harden their hearts to his voice, pay no attention to it, and go left. He says to these Christians, I want you to learn something from their example. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And he goes on to speak to them, as you read here, he says, as they did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. How long, you know, You see, this is why I limit myself to only reading one text of Scripture, because it's impossible for me, being a teacher, to read more than one text of Scripture without talking about it. And I love doing it. The time of testing. Do you know that God often brings you into the desert, a desert situation, as a time of testing in your own life? And when you're there, he speaks to you. And what he's expecting when he speaks to you is for you to do what? Listen, Sandra. Listen, Bobby. And don't harden your heart. Time of testing. It says that they paid no never mind to his voice so much that he became angry with them. And he left them in the desert. And then he brings it around in verse 12. He says to these Christians, now learn from that. And he says, be aware that sin's effect in life that you are confronted with every day has a hardening effect upon your hearts. And the way to keep your heart soft is to hear his voice through other people encouraging you to steer clear of sin. Wow, that's what he says in the context. Okay, enough of that. So let's see now. Let's answer our question. And I want to answer our question by looking at this. You know, how is it that we can so exercise to have a healthy heart and avoid having a heart attack, a hardening attack? We might say a hardening heart attack. What is it that we can do? How is it we do this? Here's the first thing. The first one is take time to listen. Now, the emphasis is going to be on taking time. Take time to listen. We are so filled with distractions, right? With distractions. Take time to listen. Distractions are all around us. And it's not, distractions are nothing new. Taking the time to listen is nothing new. Having to take the time to listen. Jesus visited his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Remember the story in Luke chapter 10. And while Jesus is there visiting his friends in their home, it says that Martha is all about getting things ready. They got a special guest. She's about tending to Jesus' needs. Wonderful. Well, she notices out of the corner of the eye, while she's doing all the work, Mary just sitting there, right? And it's like, oh boy. Now, the scripture is clear at the end of chapter 10. It says Mary's sitting there, but she's not just sitting there idle. She's sitting there listening to Jesus' word. That's what it says. Martha, so perturbed, nudges Jesus and says, Lord, tell my sister to get on up and help me, thinking that she'd find support. Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, settle down, chill. I'm not going to tell Mary to get up and help you because Mary has chosen something better than what you're attempting to do. Imagine that. She was taking time to listen to God's voice. And so to say to you, it's very simple, take time to listen. Take time to listen to God. Take time to listen to his word. Samuel was a young boy who was unaccustomed to hearing God's voice, but was in an apprenticeship program to learn it as a priest. And in my own life, as I look back, I see that has become me as a disposition to be listening to the voice, for the voice of God. And I learned that from Samuel. And Samuel is a young boy, he's learning the voice of God. He's under the tutelage, the mentorship of a priest by the name of Eli. And God speaks to Samuel one night. And Samuel hears his voice calling, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel gets up out of bed. He runs into Eli's room. He wakes him up. And he says, Eli, you just called me. Samuel, it says, did not yet recognize the voice of God. He thought Eli was calling him. Eli sends him back to bed. It happens three times. Finally, Eli says, listen, Samuel, the next time you hear the voice, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What does he say? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Taking time to listen is accelerated, is helped. We learn it. When we develop this disposition about ourselves, whenever we come to the Word, as we are facing life's challenges and need advice, we need counsel. And whatever the context of our lives is, wherever, whenever, that we develop this habit of saying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Lord, speak to my heart. And it helps us to kind of put the brakes on of everything else and to take time to listen. Let's move on. The second one is this. The first one is take time to listen. The second one is this. What do I got to do to have a healthy heart response to God's voice? The second one is this. Always be teachable. Always be teachable. Always be teachable. You know, this was a new thought for me. There are many reasons that we attribute the epithet to David, that he is a God after man's own heart. You've heard that? David is a man after God's own heart. And we look at David's life, and the first thing we think of is not Bathsheba. The first thing we think of is not murderer, adulterer, liar. We don't think of those things when we think of David. It's a marvelous thing of God's grace. But we think of David as a man after God's own heart. And I thought, well, why is that? And, you know, we come up and I've had my reasons over the years. Why is it? And I want to add to that I think the reason why David was known as a man after God's own heart, even after and in all of his failures, he was teachable. He was teachable. How many Psalms do you read where David is saying, teach me, O Lord? Psalm 86:11, he says, teach me, O Lord. He says, teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Lord, teach me. He had a teachable heart. Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Not the way, teach me. And Lord, what you teach me, I'm going to walk in. You see the teachable person's heart? You know, it's not going to go in one ear and out the other. Lord, teach me your way. What you teach me, I'm going to take advantage of. I'm going to walk in your truth. And Lord, to keep me there, unite my heart to fear your name. Put something within me that fears not coming under what I'm hearing. David was a teachable person. And I think this is what it takes for us to have a healthy heart. To always, always be teachable. One of the problems that Jesus had with people, especially religious people, in his ministry was that they were know-it-alls. They were know-it-alls. And got it all. Know-it-all. I'll never forget the time when we were building a church and my first pastorate, and I was frequenting the lumberyard to become friends with the people at the lumberyard and talking to the owner of the lumberyard. And I was a young man then. Goodness gracious, I was 21. My. And by the time we were building, I was well off into my late 20s. Craziness. And one day we were talking, and the owner of the lumberyard, he was a carpenter himself, a good carpenter, whatever. And we were talking about, you know, young people up and coming as carpenters and whatever, and how sometimes the older guys, older carpenters, kind of, you know, think that they, you know, got it all, know it all, and the trade and whatever, and kind of look down upon the younger guys. And he made this statement I never forgotten. He said, you know, these older carpenters, he said, maybe they got it and think they know it all, but maybe for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years, they've been doing it wrong. Maybe they've been doing it wrong. You know? And so that's where being teachable comes into play, where I never want to develop this attitude, never, of, well, I got it. Got it now. Yeah. Got it. Whatever there is in life, especially in my walk with Jesus. You know, and this is not way off the subject, but it's connected to it. It's like, how could they have made such a mess of their lives? And when we say that, we stand in judgment sometimes of having our lives so much in order and so much better than somebody else. And if you haven't learned this yet, you will. Your life is just as big a mess, and potentially as big a mess as anybody else's. Yeah. We're all in a mess. Teachable. Teachable. Lord, teach me your ways. Here's the third one. You ready for the third one? And for this one, I need to go someplace, Matthew 16. I want you to get these. And if I go over, I'm just using Mike's time that he didn't use last week. Thank you, Mike. Matthew 16. I'm not going to go much over if I do at all. Matthew 16. And in this chapter of Matthew 16, Jesus, by the time we get here, has just done two miracles, the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. And we know that he used a few loaves and a few fish to feed thousands of people. The 4,000 and 5,000, he's just counting the males, the men, not women and children. Thousands of people are fed. Now, to say that was an extraordinary miracle is an understatement, okay? They were all filled and satisfied. They had more than enough to eat. And when they all got done eating, Jesus said to his disciples, go and get the doggy bags, right? And they had baskets full of leftovers. Amazing miracle. So they're on their way with Jesus, and every moment was a teaching moment with Jesus. Every moment a teaching moment. And Jesus says to them as they're traveling, here in Matthew 16, starting at verse 8, he says to them, hey guys, he says, listen up. He says, you really need to be aware of the leaven of the scribes, of the Sadducees and Pharisees. So on hearing that, beware of the leaven. There's some bad stuff going on here. They look at each other and they say, did you bring bread? I didn't bring bread. Thomas, we got any bread? I doubt it. And so, thank you. And so they hear the voice of Jesus speaking to them. They hear the voice, and they what do they mistranslate that voice of what they hear into their lives. Because Jesus, hearing them, what's going on, says to them, oy vey. He says, you're talking about bread? You think what I just said to you is about bread? And then he says to them, you're worried about not having enough food to eat? What did I just do? What did I just do? I fed 3 armies. And there's just 12, 13 of us, and you're worried about us not having... That's easy. And he says, I'm not... And then it says, they get it. They understand. That he's not speaking to them about bread, but he's speaking to them about what? Teaching. Doctrine. See? And so here's the third one. The third point that I want to make about is to beware of bad translation work. So that when you hear the voice of God from his word, from any, be aware that you can mistranslate that word into your life, into your life situation. You can mistranslate it. You think you've heard from God, and it's like bread. And so you go off and running bread, 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 bread. And finally, God gets through, and he said, I'm not talking about bread at all. I'm talking about teaching. Oh, that's why something isn't connecting here. And so this is just to say to us, it's one thing to hear the voice of God. It's another to translate it properly into our lives. You don't know how many people do this. The dream of their lives. Oh, what God said to me. You know, how many people do this in reading the Word? And it isn't because the Word of God has so many different meanings. Wrong. It's a myth. Well, we can make the Word of God say anything we want it to say. Wrong. That's a myth. The Word of God says what it says. The problem is mistranslating it into our lives. And we have to be aware that that's a possibility. Bad translating work. Number four, and then I'm done with number five. Number four is, so what's it take to have a healthy heart response? Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew 4, Luke 4. Jesus is in a time of testing, right? Time of testing. And it says when he became vulnerable, he was hungry, it says in his time of testing, the devil comes to him. And when the devil comes to him, the devil comes to him using the voice of God in Jesus' life. Imagine that. Imagine that. I mean, after all, the scripture says when the devil comes to us, he doesn't come to us pitchfork in hand, right? Breathing fire. He comes to us, the scripture says, as an angel of light. And when he speaks, it sounds like the voice of God. Because when he speaks to Jesus three times, how does he speak to Jesus? Using the Word of God. Using the Word of God. And Jesus says to him, you want me to mistranslate God's Word into my life? Oh, no. And so the fourth one is this. Discerning God's voice in a time of testing takes special pains. That when you're in a time of testing, especially do we become vulnerable to mishearing God's voice. See, mishearing it. Hey, is that God saying that? Listen, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us to our faces. And he lies to us. When he tells the truth, the devil is lying. The devil was telling the truth to Jesus by using scripture on him. But he was lying in telling the truth. And we have to be aware that it takes special pains. Because during a time of testing, I become vulnerable. I'll latch on to anything that I think will keep me afloat. I have to realize that, ooh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay, here's the last one. Save the best one before the clock strikes noon. You're going to love this one. Okay? Treat the voice of God with respect. Oh, thank you, Todd. Oh, except for the number four, you didn't get it. Number four, you didn't get it. The time of testing. And this way here, that everything has a T in it. Beware of mishearing God's voice in a time of testing. I know you want to keep it on the same line. Take time to listen. There's a T there. Always be teachable. Translation work. Beware of mishearing God's voice in a time of testing. See? And then number five is treat the voice of God with respect. See? Today, if you hear his voice, see, what's one of the most obvious signs of disrespect? You pay no attention to what I'm saying. Right? Treat God's voice with respect. Treat God's voice with respect. hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God spoken to me, often does three things to us. It confronts us. It confronts us. It challenges us, and it changes us. It calls for change. Now, this is big. Calls for change. Oh, I wish I could go there. It calls for change. In saying that it calls for change is the change only happens when it's measured by growth in my life. For instance, Jonah, after having been swallowed by the whale, praying, the whale getting indigestion and spitting him out, happens after Jonah changes, right? Jonah prays and he says, Lord, I'm in a fix here. What would you say? Swallowed by a whale, you know? You're going to make some changes, right or wrong, you know? So in the belly of the whale, there's a call for change. My question to you is this. When you get to the last chapter, did Jonah change? No. I should have put it this way. Did Jonah grow from the change that happened in his life? No. Swallowed by a whale. God, I'm going to thank you for the grace. There's a major change because he repents and he goes to Nineveh. He changed and he went. But when he got there, at the end of the story, there's no growth in Jonah's life. So calls for change, just to say that. But listen, today he says if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. It calls, the word of his voice confronts us. Who likes to be confronted? You know, called up, short. That's the word of God does. Challenges us. You know, this is what I was alluding to earlier when I said, there are times when my wife speaks to me and I hear in her voice the voice of God because it calls me up short. And it's like, you know, those living closest to us, you know, type of thing. You know, I'll hear the word of God from a derelict on the street and go home rejoicing. And then I get there and Sanders got a word from me from God. And it's like, I don't have to live with the derelict on the street. I live with her. Here it is. You ready for the next T? See, treat, you got it there. Treat the voice of God with respect. Because the word received, today if you hear his voice, tempers our hearts, doesn't harden it. Now, tempering of steel is a hardening process. But it's a hardening process that keeps the metal, that keeps a certain elasticity in the metal. In other words, the metal, through the series of tempering, can be shaped. See, can be shaped. And this is what God said he wants of our hearts. See, can be tempered and shaped. If we hear his voice. Now, this is how I want to end. That we treat the voice of God with respect from every source, especially the sources that we can hear or that we can see, you and me. The voice of God is often confronting, challenging, and calls for change. Determines, you know, I mean, the decisions and actions and attitudes, wants and desires, disposition. And the old adage which says, when you're the anvil, or when you're the hammer, give it. When you're the anvil, take it. So when it comes to this, you know, this whole thing of confrontation, but I would add this. When you're the hammer, be a velvet hammer. When you're a hammer, be a velvet hammer. In other words, God has us to help us to be to allow his voice to speak through us to other people. But when we do, to treat the voice of God with respect in how we give it to other people. Look at Moses. Remember Moses? When God was speaking through him to the people and he was excluded from going into the promised land, what did the scripture say? You have dishonored me in front of the people. How? He wasn't respectful to the voice of God with other people. Instead of speaking to the rock, what did he do? He banged it with his staff and he said to the people, you rebels, I'm going to tell them off. And how many times with other people, even in our relationships, in most intimate relationships, we get irked, we get angry, whatever. And I'm going to tell them a thing or two. Boy, we better be careful. We can be 100% right and be 100% wrong. You know? That's why I say, when you got to be the hammer, be a velvet hammer. And when you're the anvil, somebody's coming to you to confront, to challenge, whatever, to be a voice of God speaking into your life, take it. Be the anvil. You're being tempered. That's where the tempering is done. That's where the tempering is done. You know, that's where it's done. Treat the voice of God with respect. He says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. They hardened their hearts. They were rebellious because the scripture says that they did not treat his voice with respect. You know? Now, I haven't always done it. I have, so many more things I can say I've done. Let's stand together and pray. You stand, I'll sit. Hey, I love you. I think this was a good word today, Bob. Hearing, God has a voice. This was pretty good, Bob. Wow. This was pretty good, Bob. And so, Lord, as we're here in your presence, and we want to be that kind of people who hear your voice. You began, our introduction to you is a God who speaks, and you are a speaking God, and you spoke to us in your Son, Jesus, and you speak to us now by your Spirit. And I pray this morning that there'd be no voice like that we hear like the voice of God. And all of those things that you have determined for your voice to be to us, that it would be, we ask for that kind of grace in Christ's name. Amen. Go in peace.